Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Okay, so welcome back. I'm torn between my hand in a bag of fresh popcorn and talking.
I'd go with the popcorn, frankly.
Yeah,
you just got it out
you
of
talk.
The popcorn.
Let
it's,
Steve
it's
talk.
Still hot.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to go back to the bag of popcorn here in a minute. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we thank you for listening. We carried live the speech by the President of the United States, Donald Trump, about half an hour ago as he spoke to the country and to the world about the situation in Iran. With Iran and the United States. I encourage you sometime after this show, obviously, to go and listen to that for yourself. But Steve Jordahl is with us now.
Good morning,
Steve, again. Steve, did you get to watch the speech?
I did. Excuse me. I watched it. I listened to it here with a 20-second delay.
Your thoughts?
I thought it was a fantastic speech. Measured. That it's the perfect way to kind of put a period on this session. Not that it's over necessarily, but this looks like a way out for Iran that is going to let them save a little bit of dignity. I've been watching some of the reactions on Twitter. I just wanted to see what was going on, and I just want to bring a couple of to you. I got four. There's an MSNBC reporter, Noah Rothman. Now, as you guys know, MSNBC has been no fan of this president. This is what Noah Rothman tweeted. Calibrated speech, new sanctions, no reciprocal military action, credible threat of force, offer of diplomatic off-ramp, no questions, at the risk of grading Trump on a curve. It doesn't get much better than that.
Huh.
That was from an
MSNBC reporter.
That was from an MSNBC reporter?
That was. Matt Walsh.
They've been drug tested?
I don't know. Senator Rand Paul, who is a supporter of the president in most cases, but has been strongly critical of what's been going on right. In Iraq and Iran. I am pleased that President Trump has pulled back and taken the preferred path of no further military action. I believe any further decisions on military action require full debate and congressional authority. I'm also pleased that he's engaging our allies to push Iran for a new, better deal. We should all work together toward peace and prosperity to avoid war and for our troops to come home from the Middle East. Matt Walsh, who is a Christian blogger and kind of on the outskirts of the Never Trump crowd. He's not always critical of the president, but he's not been a fan. America is the most powerful country in the world by many magnitudes. We should not be afraid to use that power, but there's no reason why using that power should lead to costly, drawn-out wars. That's what Trump demonstrated, and it's a spectacular win for America and for him. On the other side of the coin, however, Kristen Welker, who is an NBC analyst, tweets out this. He said Iran appears to be standing down. He noted that facts were there. He noted the facts. There were no casualties last night in the attack. Is that the case? Question mark. What if any proof does the White House have that there won't be attacks through Iran's proxies? Not everybody on board, obviously.
Just shut up.
I checked. I have not seen any comments to date, at least before I came over across the street, from Bernie Sanders, from Elizabeth Warren, from Joe Biden, from Nancy Pelosi, or Chuck Schumer. None of them had tweeted out anything about the speech yet.
But that's only been 45 minutes. But you would have thought that it had something ready to go.
Maybe.
But I think that's wise on their part,
right?
Because the President of the United States, he's Commander in Chief, and he spoke today to our country and to the world 45 minutes ago or so, and they would be wise, that's Pelosi and Schumer and the other Democrats, just to keep their mouths shut today about this. If they don't, unless they're going to commend the President, and they're not going to do that.
Right.
Didn't matter if he announced today a cure for cancer, they would go silent on that.
They accuse him of putting doctors out of work.
I don't know what you could criticize the president on that speech.
They're trying to figure something out.
Yeah. Now they've already criticized or done whatever they want to call it on killing of Soleimani. So you don't want to bring that back up again. And I don't know what you would criticize about that speech. And so to the point of the NBC analyst, if it is true, Fox is reporting, by the way, that the U.S. got advance warning of the Iranian missile strikes, okay? So if that's true that we got advance warning, if that advance warning came from Iran, then that indicates to me that they don't want this to escalate. And I don't think, now you may have some attacks from proxies.
Right.
But
you're going to have that till the Lord comes back.
That's right. They've been doing this all along.
Right.
So I really don't know what you would criticize. Rand Paul came the closest on the Republican side.
He's coming from the right.
Yeah, and he's coming from the right. And he's saying, listen, we don't want to escalate. We don't want war, blah, 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 blah. And so to me, this was what you called it, I think, the off-ramp. Or one of the things you just read, it's a credible off-ramp. Let's de-escalate. I don't think Iran wants to go toe-to-toe with the U.S.
No.
So,
well, I thought it was significant that the missiles that came across this morning, early this morning, to attack the bases where no one was hurt, came from Iran, not from a proxy,
right.
Not from Sunni troops in or Shia troops in Iraq. It came directly from Iran. They were manning up, as it were.
They had to do something.
They felt they did.
Right.
So, but now, what is, you know, if what's their reaction going to be? I should probably check the Twitter account of Zarif Zafad or whatever his name is. But I thought it was a masterstroke and a very presidential moment for Mr. Trump.
Listen to the closing remarks from the president. I have a quote here. We don't have them on audio right now, but he says to Iran, we want you to have a future, a great future, one you deserve, prosperity at home and harmony with nations of the world. The United States is ready to embrace peace with all who seek it. End of quote. That's perfect.
Yes.
What a perfect tone to end on. Or I think that was at the end of his talk.
So what you're left with is the death of a monster of a man, Qasem Soleimani, that from what you sent around last night, Iranians
around the world are happy this guy's gone.
That's right. So that's what the president did. That was decisive. That was a wow moment, taking out this monster of a man. And now what he has said to the Iranian people, listen, this isn't personal. And the sanctions that we're going to increase are because we do not want, and I'm not going to allow a nuclear weapon to fall into the hands of the mullahs. So it was a perfectly crafted, well-delivered speech. And he knocked it out of the park. And that's why I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of criticisms coming from Democrats, because now you just sound like a shrill banshee.
Okay. Yeah. If you're politically speaking, the Democrats, what have they got left? The economy's great. The president is viewed as a very strong leader on the world stage now. This enhances it. They may not ever give him. Well, CNBC did, or MSNBC did.
I think. Reporter. Yes.
We've already talked about how even though world leaders may not say much openly to commend the president, there's a new respect now for what the Americans will do to defend our interests and protect our people.
What if President Trump, through the remainder of 2020, gets some sort of a deal with North Korea, gets some kind of a trade deal done with China? I mean, what if he starts to rack up wins? Even more than the economy. What do you do if you're a Democrat?
Well, he needs to do it before the glaciers melt.
Yes.
Otherwise, there's no point, right?
Well,
Steve?
We found out this morning that we have some more years. Glacier National Park in Montana quietly took down a bunch of signs that said the glaciers would be no more in 2020 because, well, it's 2020 and they're doing well.
And there are still glaciers.
There are still glaciers.
Give people the backstory to that now or whatever.
So back in about 2000, existing Department of Interior under Obama got very...
No, it wouldn't have been Obama.
2000? No, it would have been Bush. It would have been...
Well, it depends when in 2000. It would have been the Clinton administration
or the beginning of the Bush administration.
Well, they put some signs up at Glacier National Park, which is in Montana, and the thought was that... the global warming is going to take over and the glaciers are going to be gone. So the basically the sign says enjoy these while you can because they're going to be gone pretty soon. The signs were taken down.
They actually said they'd be gone by 2020.
Right. There's no more signs.
So 2020's here. Oops.
They should put those signs in the Smithsonian.
Right?
Huh?
Put them
American history or natural history, one or the other. That doesn't matter. Put them in the Smithsonian so people can view them for decades to come.
That was during Al Gore's, of course, he ran for president, but he wrote An Inconvenient Truth and all that kind of stuff and was making these dire predictions that never came to pass.
Yeah, just these people. So they took the signs.
I like that. Yeah. Can you imagine having one of the, boy, what you would do to actually have one of those signs?
Yes.
I want to show what I got in my basement.
I would like to have been at that meeting that morning. Is it Glacier National Park?
It is Glacier National Park.
So the park ranger, rangers and the workers there at the park get together for their morning, who's going to do what today meeting.
Yeah.
You know, somebody goes, hey, Bill, you and Joe need to go out front when we leave here and dig up those, the glaciers are going to melt by 2020 signs.
Yeah.
Because we're into the new year here. And
we'll be the laughing stock.
Yeah, the glaciers are still there.
Yeah.
So can you do that for us? Okay. All right. Now, who's going to feed the deer today?
This is what the sign said. It's a big sign that says in large capital letters, "Goodbye to the glaciers."
And it was put up 20 years ago.
It was put up in the early 2000s is all I have. It says, the small alpine glaciers present today started forming about 7,000 years ago and reached their maximum in size and number around 1850 at the end of the Little Ice Age. They are now rapidly shrinking due to human-caused climate change. Computer models indicate the glaciers will be gone by the year 2020.
That's so funny.
That's perfect.
Yes, yes. I'm sure that'll be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, because we all know how much they make fun of the theory.
Left-wingers.
Yeah.
Of left-wing theology, which is global warming, climate change. All right, you're listening to today. There's this guy on TV running for president. His name is Steiner. Is his name Steiner?
Tom Steyer. Yes.
You talk about wasting money. And I know this guy's got money to waste. What's he? He's a multi-billionaire, isn't he?
Very rich. Very rich, yes.
And he's buying ads, and his angle to get people to vote for him is he's going to save us from climate change. He wants to get the world together and address climate change, and that's his big platform issue.
Yeah.
I mean, big issue he's putting on his platform, and I'm just thinking.
He's a true believer then.
I was just thinking to myself, why don't you just go burn your money? Okay?
Right. Well, that would increase his carbon footprint.
Well, bingo, Ed. Yeah, I thought that will increase his carbon footprint.
He could put it in a shredder, though.
Well, there you go.
He could drop it off at my house.
Yes.
that's okay with me.
Yeah, you'd be okay with that?
No. Yes, and no carbon footprint.
How did he make his money? Who is he?
He's. I think he's a Silicon Valley guy. I'd have to check. I will check. Okay. Discuss among yourselves.
Well, let me tell you, I drove through Silicon Valley one time, and none of that wealth rubbed off on me. I guess you have to actually have good ideas.
Where is that, California?
And live
right?
in Silicon Valley.
Hedge fund manager. I stand corrected. I worked in the Silicon Valley in the boom, and the bust, and it was quite the place. But yes, he is a hedge fund manager, so he's a financier.
I didn't know there was that much money in hedges.
Well,
in the winter, the income is a little down, but apparently in the summer.
I'm sorry. I took a bad rabbit trail there.
He sounds like a car salesman on TV, though, if you listen to him.
I haven't seen any of his ads.
Yeah, you got to watch it. Steyer is his name. Anyway.
What else you got, Steve?
I, from time to time, like to let you know a little bit about what's going on the campaign trail. With our Democrat challenges, we know who's going to be running and for the Republican side.
There's only five white people left, right?
I know. One of them one of them is Joe Biden. And
AARP member.
Yes. After the strike on Soleimani, he thought it would be a good idea to give a major foreign policy speech. I'm going to roll out what kind of foreign policy I'm going to have as president. This is what he said. This is cut 8, a very short cut.
The Iran Parliament voted to eject all Americans and coalition forces from the country.
Well, it wasn't the Iran parliament.
Gee, I didn't
it
know we had
when did he
Iraqi
do this?
Parliament.
When did he do this?
It was following the strikes. It was in the last day or two.
I didn't know we had coalition forces in Iran.
His family needs to go in, and I'm serious about this, and talk to him and tell him he needs to drop out of the race.
Because when it heats
This is
up,
like an intervention, a political intervention I'm talking about. Go ahead.
When the primaries heat up and you're going to two or three or four stops a day, going through a state, you're traveling through Iowa, and then you're traveling through New Hampshire and South Carolina, there's no telling under that kind of strain what kind of mistakes he's going to make.
Oh, I can tell you.
Yeah.
I can tell you it's going to be a daily his handlers are going to need medication themselves because they're going to be under constant panic attacks.
Yeah.
And if you get to the point where you've got to hide your candidate for president,
right,
because you're afraid of what he's going to say publicly, that's where it is with Joe Biden. He's lost it.
Especially when – now, that was a prepared speech, wasn't it?
Yes.
Especially when he's talking off the cuff, when he's just – the media standing around, that's when he starts talking about – corn pop when he was a young man and
hairy legs,
the kids like to pull the hair and all that. That's when
that's what old people do. Am I right? That is what we
listen. You're getting yourself in trouble.
No, your mom
listens to
show. I don't care if I get to be as old as Joe Biden is right now. And what is he, 76?
Yeah,
he's 20 years my senior. I will probably be doing the very same thing, so I'm not criticizing.
And you want Walker and Wesley and Riley to come to you and say, Dad, it's time for you to
not
retire.
Run for president.
If you're on the air talking about corn
pop. You know
what?
We're laughing about this, and I am I'm a bit tongue-in-cheek, I admit, on some of it. But, yes, I do think your family owes you the truth about if it comes time not to drive.
Yes, all those kinds of things.
Okay, if it comes time not to drive, it's going to be hard to explain to your 75, 80-year-old dad, I don't think it's a good idea for you to drive anymore because we've had three accidents in the last, or you can't see very well. I mean, that's the reality of getting older, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying this is no disrespect to Joe Biden as a person and I'm not making fun of aging. Because, as I say, most all of us are going to get to that point one day. It's natural. Should the Lord allow us to live long enough. But what I'm saying to you, we all know this man is not mentally fit to be president. And the Democrats have to know that, too. And they're probably panicking, going, who are we going to get? Because he's the only name we can put up that has a dog's chance to beat President Trump. Elizabeth Warren Dudden. See what's happening to me?
Bernie Sanders?
See, the people are going, you certainly don't need to run. You can't even remember who's running. But not
Bernie
Mayor,
Sanders.
I'm gay Pete.
Pete Buttigieg.
I'm talking about the senator from Vermont.
Oh, Bernie Sanders.
I just said that four times.
I'm having a senior moment. This is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's coming right back to me
quick.
But Bernie Sanders. He doesn't have a chance. You're talking about socialist / Marxist.
Yeah.
In Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden's the only chance they got. I didn't believe this would possibly happen, but I'm beginning to wonder now whether it will. It could be a real possibility. They have a brokered Democrat convention this summer, and Hillary Clinton is pulled off the. Out of the retirement home and the political retirement home and said, can you give us one more go here? Because we don't have anybody else. Now, I don't know whether she would do that. And I don't even know if that's really a possibility being discussed in Democrat circles. But Michelle Obama said no.
Yeah. I think what could happen probably in order of likelihood, I think that at the top, most likely scenario, if it's a brokered convention, and by that we mean that none of the Democratic candidates for president, for the nomination, have enough delegates to win the vote at the convention, I think what you would have is someone like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren teaming up and saying, Bernie says, let me finish. They team up and they
just
say,
all right. That picture gets me laughing. But okay, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
And they say, I'm just going to pick one of the two. Bernie says, I'm going to swing my delegates over to Elizabeth Warren. Joe Biden's clearly not the man for the – so we are now going to combine our delegates, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. I'm going to pitch my support to Elizabeth Warren. I think she has a good shot of winning, and I'm going to be vice president. I think that is the most likely outcome in a brokered convention. Second would be Hillary Clinton. But I don't think – you're not going to have Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders being okay with Hillary Clinton coming in at the end. I think they would team up and put their delegates together and get the nomination.
Also, the far left, they don't like Joe Biden
no.
for political reasons. He's
right.
too conservative for them.
Right.
The AOC, Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez.
Cortez, as I mentioned many times here, a person, not a condition, AOC. although I guess
that's still funny.
Although that's it could funny. Be a condition, I guess. But
if you have AOC,
she,
and take the medication.
She said that if this were any other country, she and Joe Biden wouldn't be in the same party.
She said that.
She said that.
Oh, yeah.
She said,
no. That's
by,
right.
By me. But what she was saying was Joe Biden is too conservative, too establishment.
Right.
For me. And I would say the AOC brand of liberalism, if that's what you want to call it, that is probably half the party. That's probably half the Democratic Party.
And it's the enthusiastic part of
yes.
the foot soldiers.
And they're the ones who were done wrong by the Clintons.
Right.
Because they're the ones that supported Bernie Sanders. There's
that's
some
correct.
Bad blood.
There, yes.
You know, you say, well, there's some bad blood on the Republican side between the never-Trumpers and the... Pro-Trumpers or the establishment versus the conservatives. Well, there's the same type thing on the Democrats.
Right.
Because the establishment would be the Clintons, the Clinton machine, and the Obamas.
The Bidens.
Obamas, he's an establishment Democrat guy now. Maybe he wasn't when he ran initially. But the Democrat establishment, they did Bernie Sanders wrong.
Right.
Okay. I'm no fan of Bernie Sanders, but they did him wrong. You remember pulling in those superdelegates
yeah.
and all that they did to, that was a scandal there.
It was that didn't get a whole lot of play because, of course, the media was kind of all in for Hillary at the time.
But a lot of Democrat voters who were Sanders supporters remember what went down there, so
right.
they may not be too excited about Hillary Clinton being drafted at the convention. So I don't know if there's somebody else out there who could possibly.
Well, you know, the only other name we haven't mentioned is Michael Bloomberg, who's kind of bypassing the first couple primaries and going for the Super Tuesday thing, and he's got a lot of money. Moderates to the left, so I don't think he'd be any more acceptable to the AOCs and such. But
I don't know who they got.
All I know is I'm enjoying I'm enjoying the view from where I'm sitting.
The DNC chairman goes into the dugout and looks down his bench of players and thinking Biden's the best. Best I got here. He can't even see the ball anymore. Oh man,
you're gonna get some calls, my friend.
All right. Well, hey, I love. I just want to say I love all old people. I just want to say that because then I hope to be one myself one day. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.